like you to turn your Bibles to the first gospel, Matthew's gospel, in chapter 4, and we're going to read just a very few verses here. Matthew 4, reading at verse number 17, which gives us the very first gospel message that the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed, focused on one word, and that gospel message is still the same today. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you the fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And may the Lord bless to our hearts this short reading from his word. Let's bow for a moment's prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O God, for the love that drew salvation's plan. And we thank Thee, O God, for this clear first word that Jesus spoke to His disciples and the world at large. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we pray, our Father, that through the ministry of Thy word in this area, that Thou would cause many to heed those words, to repent and to come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, our Father, we know Thee also, that Thou didst also instruct Thy disciples and call them to follow Thee and to serve Thee. And, Father, we pray today that Thou would speak to every one of us who knows the Lord. And, Father, we pray that Thou would help us truly to be fishers of men. Be with us now, we pray, and speak by Thy power, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For the third successive year, our church is engaged in a literal gospel outreach program. 2 years ago, we put in 10,000 copies of the Gospel of John into the Malvern community. And then last year, we followed that up by putting in 10,000 copies of the Gospel of Luke. And this year, we're in the midst of a similar program, getting in Mark's Gospel into every home in this area. It is part of the church's mission and task to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've read some verses here in Matthew's Gospel where Jesus Christ was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And I want to look at that statement this morning and see what we can learn from it. The great commission of the Lord Jesus is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But it was not a mere coincidence that the very first disciples that Jesus chose were actually fishermen, because there is no occupation in this world, not even the shepherd, that exercises and develops the elements of soul winning more than the occupation of fishing. Their previous occupation was a wonderful example of what the soul winner ought to be like. Now, in the Bible, when you're studying the Bible, remember that the customs you're dealing with are not based on our modern trawlers and so on. You're dealing with the customs that you find in Bible times and in Bible days. And in the Bible, there were basically two main types of fishing, and Habakkuk tells us about those in the first chapter of his short prophecy. Because in Habakkuk chapter 1 and the verse number 15, it says, "They take up all of them with the angle." Now, speaking here about men being as the fishes of the sea, "they take up all of them with the angle." Now, of course, you see that immediately suggests to you the ministry of angling. And then it says, "They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag." And so that last word has to do with the biblical drag net fishing. And then it says, therefore they rejoice and are glad. So it speaks here of two basic types of fishing. You have the angling and you have the dragnet fishing. Now the angler, first of all, he is a picture of the individual soul winner. And the Bible tells us that he that winneth souls is wise. The Lord has called us to serve him, and we are to reach out to others and see them won for the Lord Jesus. So angling gives us a wonderful picture of the individual soul winner. And then the dragnet fishing here that we read about, this is a corporate effort, and it shows you a wonderful picture of the church or the congregation engaged in a united effort to win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to look at these two. First of all, angling as a picture of the individual soul winner. So what we discover, as I've mentioned already, is that the angler, it's the work of an individual. Anybody can fish as long as they have the basic equipment. I remember when I came to Canada first in 1963, and I had my first visit to Sturgeon Lake. I think it was in the fall of that year or the early part of the next year. But I went up to Sturgeon Lake to stay at my wife's uncle's cottage there, and I got smitten with a fishing bug. And I thought, well, this is just for me. So I went down to the local Canadian Tire store, and I bought myself a nice rod, and I bought myself a reel, and I got some worms, and off I went to catch some fish. So I went down just to try out to see how you actually operate the rod and the reel. So I went down to the edge of a lake and stood there on a little board thing, and I fired, and on the third catch, I caught a fish. And I said, this is wonderful. This is just the sport for me, that here a fish in the third catch. So I got the fish and I put it into, I thought it was dead. I put it into a bucket of water and said, keep it and we'll have it for breakfast tomorrow morning. When I got up tomorrow morning and look into the bucket, the fish was swimming around in circles in the bottom of the bucket. And so I took pity on it and I thought, well, I can't kill it now. So I took it and I dumped it back in the lake, and I don't know what happened to it after that. But then I decided, well, let's go out and to borrow May's uncle's boat, a little modest boat that he had. Let's go out and see if we can catch some real fish. And so I wanted to go, and my daughter Jill, she said, Daddy, I want to go fishing too. Now, she was just 4 years of age at that time and was very keen to go fishing with me, but I No, dear, that's an adult thing, and I have the rod and the reel here. You don't have anything, and so you really shouldn't be going. But she kept persisting, Dad, I want to go fishing with you. So I said, okay, well, you come along. So what I did, I found an old empty fishing rod that had no reel on it in the cottage, and I tied onto it a piece of black linen thread, and I put a hook on it, and I found a worm and put the worm on it, and off we set. Right across the lake over beside where the golf course is, and the fish were jumping all round the place, and I'm plying my rod around there, and it was a wonderful evening, the fish jumping everywhere. The only thing was they weren't biting. And so after a couple of hours of that, we caught nothing, so I said to Jill, we got to go back home, it's getting dark. So on the way home, she's at the back of the boat, and I'm driving along. She said, Dad, I've caught a fish. I said, oh, no, dear. All you've got a weeder. Maybe you've caught a bit of stick or a log or something. No, Daddy, it's jumping. So I stopped the boat. Sure enough, on the end of her line was a lovely pickerel about 20 inches long. I have a photograph of it this day, her standing beside it. It's almost as tall as she was. And that finished me with fishing, because she was able to catch a fish with a simple rod, a piece of black thread and a hook and a worm. And here's me with all my equipment, and I found nothing. So the lesson is that if you have the basic equipment which he had, you can actually catch a fish. And she proved it. And if you have the basic equipment, in other words, you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have a little bit of understanding of the Word of God, you know a few Bible verses with regard to salvation, you can lead a soul to the Lord. And Jill did that sometime later with her uncle, actually. And she led him to the Lord when she was just a young girl. So you can win souls. And as long as you have the desire to go out and be a winner of souls or to catch fish for the Lord, you can do it as long as you have the very basic equipment. So that's what God calls all of us to do, to try and win souls for the Lord Jesus. Now, the angler is a person who fishes for individual fish. He doesn't come in with a great big trawler net hoping to get a whole bunch of hundreds of fish. He is looking for one fish. And what he will do, he will know a particular part of a river, a particular part maybe of the seashore or a lake shore where there are fish to be found. And very often, the ardent angler will know that there is a fish over in that pool, over there in this river, and I want to catch that guy. And so he will work at it, and he'll work and he'll ply his line over there over and over again until hopefully he catches them. And we as believers need to pray that the Lord would give us that desire to catch individual souls for the Lord Jesus. Little hymn that you'll find in our hymn book, just one verse that tells us there, Lord, lead me to some soul today and love that soul through me. I wonder, when did you last pray that, Lord, would you lead me to speak to somebody today, that I could be the link between thee and them, that they might hear the gospel? Would you love that soul through me and help me to care for them? Because some of those people have nobody else to care for them, and you may be the actual link. I love the story of little Bilney. Thomas Bilney was one of the reformers in England, little man by stature, and at the time of the Reformation, he was in Cambridge University, and he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. There's that wonderful verse in 1 Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So he became a believer, he became a Christian, and he became a member of the despised Protestant or Reformed group in the university in Cambridge. Little Bilney was a soul winner, and he saw a man. This man was a Roman Catholic priest. This man had a position of authority in the university in Cambridge. This man's name was Hugh Latimer. And Bilney saw him, and he prayed to God, Lord, give me the soul of that man, and what great wonders shall be wrought in his, well, shall he do in thy name. So Bilney had the desire. He saw this man, I want to see that man saved by the grace of God, but how am I going to do it? And so he thought, well, what am I going to do? So he went along and he saw Latimer, who was an important priest in the university in Cambridge. And he said, good Master Latimer, I want to make my confession to you. Now, Latimer, he swelled with pride because he knew Bilney. He knew he had imbibed Reformation doctrine, which is opposed to Rome. And so he wanted to win this man for the Lord. And he thought, I will make my confession. And Latimer thought he was going to come and confess how wrong he had been in imbibing Reformation doctrine. And so the time was set that Bilney would come. And Bilney came and met him, got down his knees before the great man, and he confessed. But the confession he got was not the confession of his sins that Latimer thought he was going to hear, but he got a confession from Bilney of how Bilney had come to know the Lord as a Savior. And he concluded with that verse This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And as Billney's speaking, Latimer realizes this is the story of my life. I am not content with what I have right now. This man obviously has found the Lord Jesus Christ, and Latimer came to know the Lord through the very same verse that the Lord used to bring Billney some time before. You see, Billney loved him in the Lord out of the great joy of leading him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray, Lord, lead me to some soul this day. Then the angler, and this is where I gave up in angling. Angling, an angler has to be persistent and he has to be patient. When I went down and caught a fish in the third, I cast into the water, I thought this is easy. But then I discovered afterwards you can cast and cast and cast and cast and get nothing. But eventually, if you work at it, you're going to actually catch some fish. And you need to be very persistent and you need to be very patient. And the expert angler, what he'll do, he's got a box of lures. And he'll try this one. And if this one doesn't work, he'll bring it in. He'll change it for another one, try that one. And he'll work until finally he gets something that is attractive to the fish and is able to land the fish. Now, God has given to us a box, a tackle box, if you like, full of lures. The Word of God. And that's why the more you know of the Word, the more effective you're going to be, because the Lord's able to bring to mind in the moment when you need to hear it, He will bring to you the right word at the right time, the right verse for meeting the need of some particular person. And so we are to, you'll find that different people will respond to different verses. Some people will respond to a well-known gospel text, some will respond to a less-known one. And I remember a service I took where a dear lady came to the Lord through just simply singing Psalm 40 at the beginning of the service. It wasn't the message, it wasn't the sermon. It was the sing, and her coming to grips with Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord my God, and at length to me He did incline my voice and cry to hear. So we have to be persistent and patient. And to change the metaphor, it says in the Bible, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I wonder how many people have come so close to salvation when we have left off and decided not to pursue the matter any further. We pray for them for a while. We witness them for a while and then we give up. How many fish have we lost because we did not remain persistent and patient? And then the angler is a man who uses a fine line. He doesn't use a great big trawler net that's very easy to see. He uses a fine line, and that suggests to me tact. If you go to the edge of a lake to catch fish, you don't tie a brick onto the line and then throw the thing into the great splash and sort of take the hook down to the bottom. You wouldn't do that. That would scare the fish away. So what you do is you use tact. And let me give you an illustration. In my previous church was a man there who had a heart attack, and after he recovered, he couldn't go back to work, but he decided that he would use his talents to go to people in hospital. And he would go to the local hospitals two or three times a week, go up and down the wards, even though he didn't know people, he would go in there and he'd talk to them and eventually lead them to the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and had the joy of leading many to him. He had a great gift for doing that. But then there was a young man who was inspired by our friend and saw the ministry that he had, and he thought, well, I will do the very same thing. I will go in and I will meet people in hospital, and I will get the gospel out to them. And so he went in. And he was in the ward. They allowed him to go into the ward. And he saw this young man who had just come through a serious operation and who was still quite groggy. So the young man, he felt he had to move quickly. So he looked down at him and he says, are you saved? And the young man looked up and wasn't sure what the question. If you're not, you're going to hell. Now, he was very earnest, but not very wise. Because that young man was the son of one of the hospital governors and almost got the hospital closed to any other personal worker. You see, you have to establish a bridge of contact when you're talking to people. You establish a bridge of contact, then once you've got the bridge in position, then you can walk over it and you can, with their encouragement, they'll be able to minister them the word of the living God. So we have to be tactful in the presentation of the gospel. And then one of the key things is that the angler never, if he's wise, lets himself be seen. Up in our lake, there's a couple of fish have a nest where they have their eggs, and they're there. And I just go over the edge, and I'm not going to catch them, just go and look at them. And as soon as they see me, off they go. You think fish can't see you? They can see you all right. So the idea is that if you're going to catch fish, you've got to make sure that you are not seen. You hide yourself. What we need to do in soul winning is to present not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we can't save them. It's only the Lord Jesus can save. But may the Lord shine through our lives. The people will see that we have been to Christ and have been saved by the grace of the Lord. So today, let every one of us renew our desire to be winners of souls. I've told you before, thinking about maybe the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, but that wonderful statement that really touched my soul from the godly Samuel Rutherford, who ministered at Anwath down there in the west coast of Scotland. And he said, in writing a little thing, if some soul from Anwath would meet me at God's right hand, then my heaven would be two heavens in Emmanuel's land. And it was from that Elizabeth Clefane wrote the great hymn that we all know so well, Emmanuel's Land. May the Lord help us then to have a desire. And what a blessing it would be to get to heaven and find there's somebody there who through our faithful testimony came to know the Lord. Our heaven would be the two heavens. Will you find somebody there? Have you ever witnessed to somebody? Ever led somebody to the Lord? You can. As an angler, Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's be prepared to follow him. Now let's look at the dragnet fishing, which is a picture of the united congregational effort. And that's what we're involved in right now. Because we had to purchase 10,000 copies of the Gospel of Mark. And the Trinitarian Bible Society were a great help in getting those and other earlier years' Gospels to us. So that was a job that had to be done. Then a lot of people come in and took time for a number of nights in the church here putting together the packages. They had a gospel, and then they had five different things at the tract with regard to Mike Kruger, the 22-minute tract, in the community, as well as three or four invitations to the church, to the Sunday school, and to the children's Friday night meeting. So they had to be put together, and that was a united effort as they were put together. Now that has all been done, and they're prepared, and they're bagged, and the maps are ready. Now we need to get out into the community and get them distributed as quickly as possible. And Wednesday night I spoke about Mary, who broke the alabaster box of ointment. And of her the Lord said, she did what she could. Now there's other things that Mary could not do. But she had this box of precious ointment, and she could give that to the Lord. And she did. She anointed him, as it were, for the burial. So that was something she could do. She did what she could. Now, putting together those packages, that is something that does not need a great deal of skill or intellectual ability. Every one of us can do it. And going out in the community, that's not a difficult job either, because all you simply do is take a map, and the maps are very easy to read. You go there, you park your car, you take your, your packages, and you go down, just drop them in the letterbox if there is one, or on the doorstep if there's not. That's all you have to do. Don't have to involve people in discussion. Don't have to involve them in talk. Just simply act as a mailman, a messenger, bringing the very best message of all, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we're doing. We're involved in a united congregational effort. And it'll bless your soul if you do get involved and you do your best in this area. Now, this dragnet fishing in the book of Habakkuk needs to be described, first of all, because it involves four classes of people, four individual classes of people, all cooperating, all working together. It's not the work of one angler. It's the work of four different people. Now, first of all, some of the people, they got the boat, and they get into the boat, and they rowed the boat. And their task was to row the boat out to the place off the shore where the fish are liable to be caught. So they had that job to do. Then inside the boat were others who were not rowing the boat, but their job was to pay out the net along the shore, parallel to the shore, and they paid it out along the, as the boat moved along, they paid the net out to catch the fish. Then you had a third group of people, and they were not on the boat, but they were standing on the shore, and their job was to hold the ropes at either end of the net, to hold the net in position, and then eventually to draw it ashore with the fishes caught therein. And then the fourth bunch of people who were involved were the interesting ones. Their job was to throw stones, and they got to either end, and they threw stones in the water near the end of the net to frighten the fish into the area of the net where they'd be caught and dragged ashore. So you got four sets of people working hard there at this business of dragnet fishing. Wonderful picture it is of the Church of Jesus Christ in its corporate effort to reach souls for Christ. Now, first of all, you got the rowers. Not everybody could be a rower. Their job was to get the boat into the proper position to give leadership and to give guidance. Now, in any church, the Lord has spiritual men, men whom God raises to be pillars of the church, men who are elders and deacons and so on, men who are full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Men that God has chosen. Not everybody can be a deacon, not everybody can be an elder, but they are important in steering the way the church is going about the great business of winning souls. Then you've got these other people in the boat. They're the net casters. And their job was to pay out the net along the shore. And what are these? They speak to us of. It's quite simple. You can see it at a flash. They are the people who are paying out the gospel net. They are the preachers. They are the teachers whose job it is to teach others and to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you're dealing with the angling situation, you've got to use a fine line of tact. But when you come to the corporate church, you don't need to be nearly so tactful, because you can go with all the strength that God has given you to warn sinners to flee from the wrath to come. And so the job of the preacher is to get out the gospel net. We do that in the Sunday school class. We do that in the pulpit here. And we do that in various other ministries we have in this congregation. We've got to get the net out. Not everybody is called to be a netcaster. Some people are, but some would fear to stand up in the pulpit and preach. Some would fear to even teach in Sunday school. But there are those whom God calls to do that teaching and preaching ministry. Then you've got the rope haulers. And their job is to hold the net parallel to the shore in position and then to bring it ashore when it has been filled with fish. Now, friends, I think that's a picture there of the prayer warriors. Because without them, the work would never, ever be done. And while not everybody is called to be an elder or a deacon, and not everybody is called to be a preacher or a teacher, everybody can pray. And all can lend a hand here. And that's why, as we go into this area, we need to pray specifically that as we put these hooks into this area, these gospel hooks, that we pray that the Lord will bring a face to the end of them, that we can see that face landed for the glory of God and the blessing of their souls. So the work of the rowers and the work of the net casters would be a failure if it wasn't for the people holding the gospel net in position. And so therefore prayer is vital to the ministry of winning souls for the Lord Jesus. And then the stone throwers. Their job is to get the fish into the net and to keep them there. And why are we going into this community with 10,000 Gospels of Mark? We're going in there to encourage people by invitation to come into the place where the gospel net is spread, that they may hear words whereby they might be saved. That's our great objective in getting into the Malvern area, getting sinners under the sound of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And again, while not everybody can be a rower and not everybody can be a net caster, everybody can be involved in getting the fish into the net. That speaks to me of visitors and inviters. People who take time to visit others and invite them to come along to the church to hear the word of the Lord. Let me ask you, when did you last invite somebody to come to hear words whereby they might be saved? I'm not going to ask you to answer that publicly, but you know in your heart whether or not you have been doing that. People are naturally timid and would feel difficulty sometimes coming to a congregational meeting. But if you come with them or bring them, then you're there to help them and to encourage them. And who knows, when they hear the word, that they may come to know the Lord Jesus. A dear old lady who's gone to glory years and years ago used to go to Mr. Paisley's church in the early days. And I remember these days and I remember her. This is way back, back in the 50s. Her name was Mrs. Armstrong. And she was quite a woman, because when Mr. Paisley is preaching, she was like an echo, because as he's preaching, she is echoing the words that he is saying. And some people in the congregation weren't very happy with that, because they wanted to listen to the preacher, didn't want to have the echo as well, but they got the echo. And sometimes that people might even look disparagingly on her because of that. But that dear old lady in those days went from door to door in the streets of Belfast where the church was. And she knocked doors, she invited people to come, and she would not take no for an answer. And she got many people brought into the church to hear the word to get saved. And when the whole history of the Christian church is written up, many souls in glory are there because Mrs. Armstrong was faithful in inviting them to come to hear the word of the Lord. You see, sometimes we take no too easily. I don't want to put pressure on people, but at the same time, that their souls are at stake. The safety of their souls is at stake. We need to reach them, and we need to be serious about that. Now, in closing, how do we approach the fishing in the sea of sin? Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you." You see, it's not our talents, although some people, I believe, are specially blessed of the Lord with a talent for ministering in the matter of winning souls. But it's not our talents. It is the Lord who makes us to be winners of souls and fishers of men. One of the very best books on the land of Palestine is called The Land and the Book, written by a man called Thompson. Thompson's Land in the Book. You won't get it now as a new copy because it's printed over 100 years ago. But that to me is the best book in understanding the customs of life in Israel in Bible times, because he wrote at a time when Israel was very much like what it was in the Bible times, not like today where it has been modernized so much it's very hard to come to grips with what the land was once like. But Thompson wrote The Land and the Book. In his book he tells us about the dragnet fishing, he tells us about the angling, and he tells us there about the Arabs in those days. This is back in the late 1800s or early 1900s. And they were poverty stricken and starving. But the Sea of Galilee was full of fish. In fact, I was in the Sea of Galilee years ago and got my feet bitten by small fish all around. The place was full of fish. But the Arabs, they did not concern themselves about fishing. Didn't like the water. They didn't like to get into the lake. Didn't like to fish. And so they're living on shore, poverty-stricken and hungry. When there's a whole mass of fish there ready to satisfy their hunger. But they wouldn't do it. Thompson saw that when he was there. Now, is that our attitude to the world at large? I used to remind our people here, when you're driving up and down, even coming to church, to see somebody walking along the sidewalk, pray, Lord, speak to that man. Speak to that man, save that man. That woman, Lord, walking along the street, Lord, deal with her soul and bring her to Christ. And that's something you can do all the time. That is something that we can do. Or do we just look at the people as trees walking? They have rejected God. They're going to their eternal destiny. And am I my brother's keeper? May God help us not to be like that, but rather to be like the disciples. Because you read of them that they toiled and they rowed and they fished. And they fished all night and were told they caught nothing. But they were prepared to follow the instructions of the Lord Jesus Christ and to launch out into the deep at His command. You know the story well, how that they gained a tremendous number of fish. The Lord miraculously filled their nets. So the net broke, the Lord answered prayer. May God give us today a desire to be like the disciples and to be willing this day and this week to go to Maud and say, Maud, give me a map, give me some of these things. I want to get into Malvern. I want, Lord, to get hooks, gospel hooks, into this area. A character phoned me this past week. Every so often this person phones me, and I have to admit I don't like to talk to him too much because of the manner of his speech and so on. But he called me and says, what's this about this Malvern area? I said, what do you mean? Well, he just heard of Malvern, but he couldn't say very much about it. And Malvern area is one that has some crime, a difficult area. But the Lord has placed us here for a reason. And once more, we're putting the fish hooks into the area. Will you help us get them out into the area so that precious souls may read and read words for salvation? But somebody says, it's a waste of time. Well, we have at least one person here this morning who came to the Lord through the John's Gospel, and he has never stopped smiling since. He's here. And the Lord has answered prayer in that regard. But somebody says, a waste of time. You take out 10,000 Johns and 10,000 Lukes and 10,000 Marks. A waste of time. Do you not remember the parable that the Lord Jesus gave about the sower? And he told about, and again, you have to go back to Israel in the biblical times to understand that you've got a field there. And in the field, there are some great big rocks that can't be moved. In the field, there is a bunch of thorns over here. In the field, there is a bit of hard ground that people have used as a road. And they've packed it down. And the sower goes forth to sow, and he sows his seed. He broadcasts it across the land. Some of it falls among those thorns, and the thorns took it. And some of it falls in the stony ground. There's no earth that they don't get any growth. And some of it falls on that hard wayside, beaten down by the passage of men. There's no result. I wonder this morning, are you one of those people that have been tramped down by the gospel over the years? You've had the gospel sown, but your life is so hard, your heart is so hard, your heart's impervious to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. My friend, you need to waken up and pray that the Lord would help you break up your fallow ground, that you would receive the seed of the Word of God, that you would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if we knew where the wayside ground was, and the thorny ground, the stony ground, we could forget it. But we don't. But we do know that Jesus said that there is good ground, and the seed sown there will bring forth 30, some 60, some 100-fold. May God help us as a people to be concerned about this area, to pray much for it, to go into it with these gospel hooks, and pray that the Lord would catch many fish, not to the glory of this church or its people, but the glory of the great fisherman, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the instruction of thy word today, and we pray that each one of us may hear that word of the Lord. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Perhaps, Lord, there are some young people here who have been to camp, and Lord, thou art dealing with them at the camp. And right now, Lord, thou art dealing with them again. We think of one particularly, one of our ministers now, who through this very gospel text became a preacher of the Word of God. Lord, is there somebody here this morning, and thou art speaking? Give them grace to follow thee, that they may become at thy behest and with thy help the fishers of men. Oh God, we pray that thou would help us all to be stirred up and to realize that Malvern is not beyond the bounds of salvation. We know, Lord, that the more difficult things may be, the more evidence there is of the power of God working. Lord, thou art a God who specializes in things thought impossible, and it shall be done. O God, we pray, speak to every heart and bless it and challenge us. And Lord, we pray on that great day when we stand before thee, they'll be able to say, my heaven is two heavens in Emmanuel's land because of precious souls that the Lord used us to be instruments in thy hand to see their salvation. Answer prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with number 698.